from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App. You are still listening?
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President Maruf Amin said, a country will progress if it has quality of human beings. Indonesian and U.S. troops join Super Garuda Shield 2024. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin said that a country can be said to be advanced not only because it has abundant natural resources, but also has quality human beings and sophisticated technological support. This was conveyed by the Vice President in his remarks at the 20th Ahmad Bakri Awards ceremony Thursday. He also mentioned the need to strengthen the nation's identity and invest in education, innovation, and the use of technological advances.
Saat ini sebuah negara bisa dikatakan maju bukan hanya karena memiliki kekayaan alam.
Nowadays, a country can be said to be advanced not only because it has abundant natural resources, but also has quality human resources and sophisticated technological support. For this reason, investment in education, innovation, and utilization of technological advances, as well as strengthening national identity, are the keys to producing the next generation of superior nations in order to realize an advanced Indonesia.
Kunci dalam menghasilkan generasi penerus bangsa yang unggul demi mewujudkan Indonesia maju.
Vice President Maruf Amin added that collaboration among the business world, media, government, and academia must also be strengthened to create an ecosystem that supports technological innovation and human development. He believes that this synergy will accelerate the nation's progress and ensure Indonesia's competitiveness at the global level. Vice President Maruf Amin also requested that the spirit of diversity in every step of development continue to be maintained and developed. He hoped that all levels of society can increase their concern for education and character building. Hundreds of soldiers from the Indonesian Army and U.S. Marine landed at Juanda Naval Air Base Surabaya East Java on Wednesday in order to participate in a joint exercise titled Super Garuda Shield 2024. Reported by the Indonesian Armed Forces Information Center on Thursday, the soldiers from the two countries arrived using a commercial aircraft that departed directly from Hawaii, USA. In addition to transporting personnel, the aircraft also carried equipment that would be used during the exercise. Super Garuda Shield 2024 is scheduled to take place from Monday, August 26 to September 6. The exercise will take place in three locations, namely Situbondo, East Java, Karawang, West Java, and Batu Raja, South Sumatra. Indonesian men's doubles Muhammad Shohibul Fikri and Daniel Martin confirmed their place in the quarterfinals of the Japan Open 2024 tournament. Reported by Antara, the certainty was obtained after Fikri and Daniel won over Taiwanese pair Fang Chi Li and Fang Jen Ni in the last 16 of the tournament held in Yokohama, Japan on Thursday. through two straight games. Quoted from PBSI's brief statement, the new pair admitted that the second round match was not easy because the opponent would play well in anticipating the game pattern. The club from Samarinda East, Kalimantan, Borneo FC, locked in a 3-0 victory over its Singapore guests, Lion City Sailors. Reported by Antara, the victory occurred in the inaugural match of Group B of the ASEAN Club Championship 2024 at Batakan Stadium, Balikpapan on Thursday night. The victory led Borneo FC to top the Group B standings with 3 points, while Lion City Sailors slumped in sixth position with 0 points. The match lasted only 3 minutes when Borneo opened 1 point. However, Leonardo Gaucho recorded the third goal in the 80th minute after beating the Lion City Sailor defenders. The 3-0 advantage for Borneo FC lasted until the end. The West Java Provincial's government is collaborating with the British Embassy for Indonesia and Timor-Leste in developing the creative economy industry. This collaboration is expected to strengthen innovation, increase competitiveness, and open up new opportunities for industry players. The UK is a successful country in the field of creative economy, while in Bandung there are many creative activities that must be developed. This was said by Acting Governor of West Java, Bey Mahmudin, in Bandung, West Java on Thursday, quoted by Antara. In a meeting with the British Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Dominic Herme, Bey said that his side continues to encourage cooperation in the creative industry between West Java and the UK, which is expected to support the nation's products. Meanwhile, Ambassador Herme said there are many ideas and ambitions between the creative arts and the best economy found in West Java. He also stated the UK is ready to contribute to the development of various sectors in West Java, including the creative industry. Let's move on to the international news, where a new study warns that deaths from extreme heat in Europe are expected to rise sharply in the coming decades, potentially adding 55,000 deaths annually by 2100. Reported by Anadolu, the study published in the journal The Lancet Public Health Thursday said that the situation could occur if there was no significant action in combating climate change. The results showed that the increase would mark a 13.5% rise in temperature-related death. The picture is much different compared to the number of cold weather-related deaths, which is expected to decrease. Currently, extreme temperatures in Europe cause about 407,500 deaths each year, and cold temperatures are the main cause. Thailand confirmed Asia's first case of a new deadlier strain of monkeypox, or mpox, on Thursday. According to AFP, the first case was a man from Europe who traveled to the country from Africa. The patient arrived in the capital, Bangkok, last Wednesday and was sent to hospital with symptoms of monkeypox. The Thai Ministry of Public Health's Department of Disease Control said laboratory tests of the 66-year-old patient confirmed that he was infected with Clade 1B monkeypox. The department said they will share the information with the World Health Organization, WHO. The department added that they have monitored 43 people who were in close contact with the patient and so far have not shown any symptoms, but they must continue to monitor these people for 21 days. The Thai government stressed that anyone traveling to Thailand from 42 countries at risk of monkeypox must register and undergo testing upon arrival. Governor of the state of Minnesota, United States, Tim Walz, officially accepted the nomination as U.S. Vice President at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, USA, Wednesday local time or Thursday Indonesia time. Reported by Anadolu, in his speech in front of the convention participants, Walz mentioned a number of claims of achievement for Minnesota residents during his tenure. Some of them are cutting taxes for the middle class, passing leave for family and health needs, investing in fighting crime, and facilitating access to affordable housing. In his speech, Walz showed his support for protecting reproductive freedom amid the abortion debate. He emphasized his stance on tightening gun control laws in response to the many cases of shootings in U.S. schools. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Poland and Ukraine. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi arrived in Warsaw, Poland, on Wednesday, August the 21st, on a three-day visit to Poland and Ukraine. Modi is the first Indian Prime Minister to visit the Central European country in 45 years. Modi's visit to Poland and Ukraine will not only strengthen cooperation in trade, defense, and other strategic areas, but is also expected to play a significant role in resolving the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, during a joint press conference with Modi on Thursday, August the 22nd, as quoted by Times of India, IndiaTimes.com, expressed his confidence that India can play a significant role in resolving the ongoing war. He also revealed that Prime Minister Narendra Modi has confirmed his willingness to help end the war peacefully. Narendra Modi, on the same occasion, said the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and West Asia is a matter of great concerns for all countries. India firmly believes that no problem can be solved on the battlefield. The loss of innocent lives in any crisis has become the greatest challenge for all humanity. India supports dialogue and diplomacy for the rapid restoration of peace and stability. For this reason, India is ready to provide all possible cooperation with its friendly countries. Just like the Polish Prime Minister, many parties hope that India can play a more active role in resolving the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. This is considering India's relationship with Russia and Ukraine, which has been considered quite close so far. Western countries want India to not only urge or advocate dialogue and diplomacy. There needs to be a firm stance in condemning Russia and playing an active role in supporting UN resolutions targeting the Kremlin. So far, India has seemed cautious and taken a more neutral stance, not siding with Western countries in cornering Russia, even abstaining from UN resolutions targeting the Kremlin. So far, India has remained consistent in advocating for both parties to resolve their differences through dialogue. During a joint press conference with Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, Modi also asserted that India supports dialogue and diplomacy for the speedy restoration of peace and stability. India's call for both sides to resolve the war through dialogue and diplomacy cannot be dismissed as a mere passing win. India is a friend and partner of Russia and Ukraine in various fields, including defense. Its call for both sides to engage in dialogue and diplomacy is believed to be more likely to be heard and followed. That was commentary today.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with August 23, 1914, when Japan declares war on Germany in World War I. In World War I, which lasted from 1914 to 1918, Japan participated as a member of the Allies to fight the German army. Initially, on August 7, 1914, Britain asked for Japan's help to destroy the German Navy, which was entrenched in Chinese waters. Japan then sent an ultimatum to Germany on August 15, 1914. Because Germany ignored the ultimatum on August 23, 1914, it officially declared war on Germany. Japan quickly succeeded in seizing German territories in mainland China and the Pacific. Let's move on to August 23, 1949, when the Round Table Conference begins. The Round Table Conference was a meeting held in The Hague, Netherlands, from August 23 to November 2, 1949. The meeting was held between representatives of the Republic of Indonesia, the Netherlands, and the BFO, or Bijeenkomst voor Federaal Overleg, which represented various Dutch form states in the Indonesian region at that time. The roundtable conference was marked by five speeches. One of them was a speech by the Prime Minister of the Republic of Indonesia, Muhammad Hatta. The conference ended with the Netherlands' willingness to transfer sovereignty over almost all of the Dutch East Indies to the Republic of the United States of Indonesia, except Papua. The transfer of sovereignty took place on December 27, 1949. The signing of the sovereignty transfer document took place in two cities, Amsterdam and Jakarta. I'll end today in history with August 23, 1991, when the World Wide Web launched. The World Wide Web, or WWW, is a system of information on the internet that allows a user to share content in a more user-friendly manner. The WWW was intended to attract users beyond technology, specialists, and hobbyists. The Triple W, or WWW, was invented by British computer scientist Tim Berners-Lee in 1989, while he was working at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN. However, the WWW was not launched to the public until August 23, 1991. The WWW system quickly became the most widely used system for accessing the internet.
Tell me how to make you stay, and you're always going to be the one for me. We'll be fine today, have a drink for the all-time perfect time to say you are my happiness. Just the thing kept me sane. It's too much for a little time of fame. But you saved the day. Yes, you saved the day. Thank you. to be the one for me. Where to find you again? There's no one seems to care. It's too much for the average man to stay. But you saved the day. Yes, you saved the day.
Of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, said the total quarter one investment realization in Labuan Bajo was 570 billion rupiah. Sandiaga Uno, during a networking dinner and cultural show in Jakarta on Sunday, also expected that the realization to keep rising along with supporting access in the region. As quoted by Antara on Wednesday, in 2020, Labuan Bajo of East Nusa Tenggara as super priority tourism destination got a significant investment, mainly for infrastructure and tourism development. According to Minister Sandiaga, this put Labuan Bajo at the fourth highest investment realization from 10 priority destinations. In 2023, the investment realization in Labuan Bajo was 5.2 trillion rupiah. This made the tourism sector one of the biggest contributors from 15 investment sectors in East Nusa Tenggara. Besides, Minister Sandiaga further remarked that soon there would be an international flight in East Nusa Tenggara, namely by Air Asia, on September 3, 2024, for Kuala Lumpur-Labuan Bajo route. Other international flights, such as from Australia and Singapore, will follow soon. According to the minister, this achievement proved that East Nusa Tenggara is chasing an economic growth that contributes to state and regional revenue, as well as wider job creation. He said to realize a more advanced East Nusa Tenggara, it takes a collaboration from all stakeholders, including East Nusa Tenggara diasporas in Jakarta and everywhere. With the networking dinner and cultural show theme, From Culture to Capital Investing in the Future for Better, East Nusa Tenggara, combined with East Nusa Tenggara's cultural show, it was expected that various potentials, challenges, and issues could be dug deeper in creating a more conducive investment environment in East Nusa Tenggara. The event was a platform to build networking and collaboration among stakeholders, namely the government, industry players, and investors. The event was also a common space, especially for East Nusa Tenggara diasporas to share info about economic situation, regulation, and business opportunity, while improving investors' trust to investment stability and prospects in East Nusa Tenggara.
Apa yang lain darimu hari ini? Apa itu karena sepatu flatmu atau kukumu yang baru kau warnai? Pernahkah kau bertanya seperti apa bentuk air tanpa wadah? Pernahkah kau mengira seperti apa bentuk cinta? Rambut warna-warni bagai gulali, imut lucu walau kau tak terlalu tinggi, pipi cabi dan kulit putih, senyum manis, gigi kelinci membuatku tersadar bentuk cinta itu. Ya kamu, kini ku tahu apa yang lain darimu hari ini. Itu bukan karena sepatu flatmu atau kukumu yang baru kau warnai. Pernahkah kau bertanya seperti apa bentuk air tanpa wadah? Pernahkah kau mengira seperti apa bentuk cinta? Rambut warna-warni bagai gulali, imut lucu walau tak terlalu tinggi, pipi cabi dan kulit putih, senyum manis, gigi kelinci membuatku tersadar bentuk cinta itu. Ya kamu, pernahkah kau bertanya seperti apa bentuk air tanpa wadah? Pernahkah kau mengira seperti apa bentuk cinta? Rambut warna-warni bagai gulali, imut lucu walau tak terlalu tinggi, pipi cabi dan kulit putih, senyum manis, gigi kelinci. Warna-warni bagai gulali, imut lucu walau tak terlalu tinggi, pipi cabi dan kulit putih, senyum manis, gigi kelinci membuatku tersadar bentuk cinta itu. Ya kamu, cuma dirimu untukku bentuk cinta itu. Kamu, oh ya kamu.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Silmi Karim of the Minister of Law and Human Rights, Kemenkumham, officially released the latest Republic of Indonesia's passport design on Saturday, August 17, 2024, coinciding with Indonesia's 79th anniversary. The new Republic of Indonesia's passport designs uses 33 of the 5,849 Indonesian archipelago fabrics patterns from Sabang to Merauke, with red and white cover colors. Director General of Immigration of the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Silmi Karim, explained that the red and white color symbolize the unification of the nation, honor, and the history of nation struggle, courage, and purity. On the other hand, traditional Indonesian fabrics patterns symbolize the diversity of cultures, ethnicities, races, and groups, as well as the dynamics of national life, as stated by Karim. In terms of appearance, the passport page designs uses traditional fabric patterns of each region in Indonesia, and the patterns will change its shape under the UV light. The change in Republic of Indonesia's passport design aims to improve the Indonesian passport power in the world. So far, the Indonesian passport is ranked 69th in the strongest passport in the world category. Indonesian passport holders can travel visa-free to 78 countries. Karim said that there have been three changes in the Indonesian passport color design since 1945. Indonesian passport in 1945 until 1958 used gray color, changed to blue in 1959 to 1982, green in 1905, and the latest change was to turquoise in 2014. The combination of raw material security features and new printing technology is a major concern to ensure that passport can be used to travel overseas. Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lauli outlined the main function of passport. Lauli said that a passport is not just a travel document, but a reflection of the nation's identity and pride. This can be seen from the latest design of the Indonesian passport, which depicts the richness of Indonesian culture through a variety of traditional fabrics and authentic Indonesian colors.
Angin memiriku pasang pintu cuwi tongtonganan tusaro atau kalupa batu mi angin memiriku.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about new Indonesian passport design emphasizes Indonesian fabrics. Silmi Karim of the Indonesian Ministry of Law and Human Rights officially released the latest Republic of Indonesia's passport design on Saturday, August 17, 2024, coinciding with Indonesia's 79th anniversary. The new Indonesian passport design uses 33 of the 5,849 Indonesian archipelago fabric patterns from Sabang to Merauke, with red and white cover colors. Director General of Immigration of the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Silmi Karim, explained, "The red and white colors symbolize the unification of the nation, honor, and the history of the nation's struggle, courage, and purity." Listener, on the other hand, traditional Indonesian fabric patterns symbolize the diversity of cultures, ethnicities, races, and groups, as well as the dynamics of national life. As stated by Karim, in terms of appearance, the passport page design uses traditional fabric patterns of each region in Indonesia, and the patterns will change its shape under the UV light. The change in Indonesian passport design aims to improve the Indonesian passport power in the world. So far, the Indonesian passport is ranked 69th in the strongest passports in the world category. Indonesian passport holders can travel visa-free to 78 countries. Silmi Karim of the Indonesian Ministry of Law and Human Rights said there have been three changes in the Indonesian passport color design since 1945. Indonesian passports in 1945 to 1958 used gray color, changed to blue in 1959 to 1982, changed to green in 1995, and the latest change was to turquoise in 2014. The combination of raw material security features and new printing technology is a major concern to ensure that passports can be used to travel overseas. Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lauli outlined the main functions of passports. Lauli said that a passport is not just a travel document, but a reflection of the nation's identity and pride. This can be seen from the latest design of the Indonesian passport, which depicts the richness of Indonesian culture through a variety of traditional fabrics and authentic Indonesian colors. That was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Aku kesal dengan waktu yang tak pernah berhenti bergerak. Barang sejenak agar ku bisa menikmati tawamu. Ingin ku berdiri di sebelahmu, menggenggam erat jari-jarimu, mendengarkan lagu Sheila on Seven seperti waktu itu. Saat kau di sisiku, dan tunggulah aku di sana memecahkan. Menarik paksa
aku. Jangan matikan HP-mu. Kau tahu aku benci khawatir. Saat kau tak mengabari, aku tak suka bertanya-tanya. Ingin ku bakar dia yang sering mention-mentionan denganmu di Twitter. Namun kau selalu meyakinkanku untuk tumbuhkan percaya, bukan rasa curiga. Dan tunggulah aku di sana memecahkan.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's my pleasure to welcome you back to the Pelangi Nada program, where I'm faithfully accompanying you with the treasures of Indonesian music from Aceh to Papua. This time, I'm going to discuss a typical song from Gorontalo called Mo Ela Oli Papa, which means Remembering Father. This song is a meaningful one, reflecting a deep longing for a father figure. The lyrics also illustrate how important a father's role is in their lives. Through the lyrics, we are invited to reflect on how meaningful family relationships are and how much influence parents have in shaping the character and direction of their children's life. In addition, the song Mo Ela Oli Papa also teaches a moral message. By doing good deeds, the good deeds will return. No matter how small the kindness we do, it will definitely be rewarded with 1,000 kindnesses from God Almighty. Here is Mo Ela Oli Papa, the song from Gorontalo, which is sung by Giu. Enjoy listening to the song.
Tahu padamu, sekali lagi padamu, ku bawakan rindu yang kau pesan. Putu, aku di sini untukmu, sekali lagi untukmu, percayalah tak lagi kau gundah. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Hidup adalah tentangmu, selalu saja tentangmu. Sepertinya kau adalah candu bagiku. Kau buat aku tak mampu, selalu saja tak mampu menahan perasaanku atas dirimu. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku.
mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Udah ku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu.
Sepatu flatmu atau kukumu yang baru kau warnai. Pernahkah kau bertanya seperti apa bentuk air tanpa wadah? Pernahkah kau mengira seperti apa bentuk cinta. Rambut warna-warni bagai gulali, imut lucu walau tak terlalu tinggi. Pipi cabi dan kulit putih, senyum manis gigi kelinci, membuatku tersadar bentuk cinta itu. Ya kamu, kini ku tahu apa yang lain darimu hari ini. Itu bukan karena sepatu flatmu atau kukumu yang baru kau warnai.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.